Welcome back to Season 5 of The Rock Movers, the podcast for empowered women who are navigating life's biggest transitions, challenges, and moving life's biggest rocks. I'm your host, Karen Gray, and I can't wait for us to get started with today's guest and episode. Are you ready? Let's move some rocks. Hello and welcome to Season 5. I could not think of a better way to start this season than with someone that has just had such a huge impact on me personally and on some recent changes that I've made in my business and my life. I'm talking about the one and only Dr. Cameron Martin. I found him on a podcast that I love, which is called Heal Thyself with Dr. G. And Cameron was a guest on there recently. I connected with him and just fell in love because he is such a giver and has such a servant's heart. He is a soul purpose coach, an astrologist, and he specializes in QHHT. We talk a little bit about all of that and his journey in today's episode. And by the time this launches, he will be on a new journey after a huge trip overseas. So I can't wait to dive into this episode and allow you to meet my new dear friend, Dr. Cameron Martin. Let's get going. Okay, Rock Movers, you heard how amazing my guest is today, and they just keep getting better and better. So I cannot wait to introduce you to this amazing new rock moving friend, Dr. Cameron Martin. Cameron, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Karen. I'm so excited to be here today.
Well, we have had fun off camera before we ever got on. So we've already been up to hijinks and talking about all the different rocks that we all move. But you have some amazing rock moving stories that I would love to have you share. But let's pick the best. Like, what is the most impactful rock that you've moved in your short little life? Because you're just a young whippersnapper.
Yeah, but it feels like I've been around for an awfully long time.
For centuries.
For many centuries. You know, it's interesting, even if I can share this, and of course you can edit this out if you don't like it, but when I was thinking about rock movers, there was a saying that I have reflected on in the past, but I was actually just thinking about recently. On a spiritual path, a lot of times people fight with the rocks. It's like you're moving down a river and the rocks are there, they're present. And we tend to get sort of stuck on a rock. We're sort of holding on to the rock. Oh my God, this problem, this thing, this issue. If only I could do this, if only I could figure this out, if only I didn't feel lonely, if only whatever. We just keep banging the drum of the same issue again and again and again. And we're just like holding on to these rocks for dear life, when in reality, if we would just let go, we'd be flowing down the river. And we wouldn't even have to worry about moving a rock so much as allowing yourself to be moved away from it in your experience. So I don't know.
You would start with something so profound as that.
Yeah. I guess. But I've thought a lot about this idea and like, what are my rocks and sort of what does the river look like that I'm in right now? Because we all go through periods of life where sometimes the river is very calm. Other times it's more like a raging rapids. Sometimes we're about to fall over a waterfall. And we don't know what's coming. But I think even if we pictured that, I'm sure listeners could probably reflect for themselves, where are you right now? What do the waters actually feel like for you? And in any river, there are rocks. And so your relationship to them makes all the difference. If you keep banging into them, holding on to them, oh my gosh, this rock, just let go. And then, man, you might bump into another one, of course, but you're going to bump into it and move on, or you're going to hold on to it and grip for dear life. It's your choice.
Yeah, or you're going to put it in your bag, carry it with you, and sink to the bottom.
Or that.
So I love this analogy with the river, because I tend to think of it like a path with the rocks that I'm carrying and being able to take them out of the bag and lay them on the ground. But what a beautiful picture of the river, because yes, every river has rocks in it. and those rocks deflect the water in a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're flowing, the rocks that you bump up against help you flow in the pattern, the direction that you are supposed to go. So I love that. What a beautiful visual. And I'm such a visual person, so that was really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. We're probably going to come back to that visual as I speak. So that, maybe that's why I laid the groundwork. I have no idea.
I am sure it will come up again, just the little that I know you. So we met as a result of you being on another podcast. And that podcast has been, as you said, something that a lot of people have seen you on, and it's been really transformative. On that podcast, you said so many things that made so much sense to me. So I reached out to you, and we've had conversations, and I've had a chance to learn from you. And you've helped me move some additional rocks. Recently, you've moved additional rocks. So we say we have this one big rock, or I've said, we have this one big rock that we move, or we have these rocks that we move, and then we just help others move those. But the truth is, at any time, we can pick up another rock or lay down another rock. It's this beautiful thing that we have this choice of what we carry and what we don't. What has been your journey with these rocks in the river, the rocks in your bags? Tell me, what is it that we need to know about Dr. Cameron today about your rocks?
Yeah. So
I feel like there's a story that I don't even want to get in the way of.
There's definitely a story, and there are many rocks. So just curious where we're going to start here. But so just so that people have context, similar context to what you had when we first started talking, is that I am a spiritual coach and an astrologer, among many other things. But I work with people essentially to help them discover and live their soul's purpose. Now, that was not always what I thought I would be doing with my life. I had different ideas. When I grew up, I was a practicing Roman Catholic. I was very religious growing up. And this was not something my family imposed upon me. It was actually something that I recognize now is actually something from past lives, a very deep connection with the Catholic Church that I have as a soul. I used to sing in the choir when I was 18 years old. I was a choir director for two choirs. A lot of my life, I was a catechist teacher. I actually even taught the confirmation class at one point. I was like 3 years older than these 16-year-olds. It was kind of wild. And I thought for a very long time that I wanted to be a priest.
Was your family Catholic, or was that something they chose to do?
They were, but not religious. It was not something my family imposed on me. I mean, my grandmother would have been thrilled had I become a priest, but nobody else cared. In fact, talk about black sheep in the family. I think the fact that I started off in church already made me weird in the family. They didn't care. They didn't really go to church, but I did. This was my choice. However, it was such a huge component of my identity, but I understood when I was a teenager that I was different, and I understood that I was gay, but being who I was in the church, it was like, oh, geez, you need to hide this. You know, not that being gay is bad, except you can't ever get married. And if you have sex, it's sinful. So it's kind of bad. But not if you don't touch yourself, apparently. So I was like, okay, this doesn't work for me.
That's not confusing at all.
Yeah, exactly. Super confusing. So I remember, too, you know, this. I was someone who was singing at all kinds of masses. I sung for priests at funerals. I sung at major, all celebrations, this kind of stuff. And I recognize now, and only now, that at that period in my life, I was actually using my voice to hide, which I didn't see then. I was up at the front singing, and I have a nice singing voice. I mean, I am musical. This has always been a part of me. But here I am at the front of a church making people sing and making people cry and coming up at the end. That was so beautiful. I'm like, yeah, well, if only you knew what was going on inside of me, this torment, essentially. So I guess if we're going to identify a rock here, I actually want to call it like self-acceptance, needing to truly accept myself, because I understood that I was made in the image of God. Now that definition has shifted for me. God, the creator, source, oneness, universe. You can call it Adonai. You can call it whatever you want. The essence that is our creator, right? The Catholic Church doesn't use all those words, but I do. Anyway, I recognize that I was perfect and everything was fine. I was exactly how I was meant to be, but boy, this did not fit into the Catholic Church, and I really didn't accept myself at all. And in my early 20s, especially, I began a career as a teacher. The only thing I ever wanted to do in my whole life was become a teacher. As a kid, I used to play school all the time. I had chalkboards, whiteboards, grade books, you name it. I remember one of my birthdays, I asked for an overhead projector. So I had those transparencies and the vis-a-vis markers and projecting it on not just the wall, on an actual screen. Anyway, this
curious
is
curious about that dream.
Very much so. And so when I became a teacher, that was not a surprise to anyone. And I was very good at it, like right off the bat. Surprise, I'd had like a decade's worth or more of practice. But I loved teaching. However, that was a period of my life for sure. When I first started my career as a teacher, I was also singing in a parish. I was in the closet. It was a period of my life that I could tell you I was exploring the themes of really self-hatred and non-acceptance of self. So this is kind of the rock we're talking about. Super. And even at the time, I'm not sure I could have defined that for you, but now I can see like, oh yeah, that's what that was. And it was a period of my life where, to be honest, I really didn't love myself, but I didn't know it. I would have told you I loved myself back then, but I really didn't know that I hadn't accepted myself. And then a few years into teaching, I did come out of the closet, which was very helpful and big on my journey. And I remember really it came to a place where it was like, well, I want to date and connect intimately. And it's like, you can't do this if you're going to be closeted. I mean, you can, but that's not safe. And so I didn't want to. And at the same time, I was going through, oh my God. So if I'm going back to the river analogy, the water is getting really rough here. So at the same time, I was moving through this new career. I was kind of two years-ish in, and I loved teaching, but everything else happening outside of my classroom was a complete disaster. I worked in an environment with poor leadership. I mean, really, really bad. And my own behavior was really bad. I was lying and hiding in so many ways. And so now the waters are getting pretty rough and I'm not really sure why I'm doing this job. I'm out and that feels better, but I don't feel necessarily authentically me. And things professionally in life, another rock, another rock, another rock, kind of got worse and worse. And it was the end of 2017. I was pretty sure at that point that I no longer wanted to be a teacher. And this was very hard for me because this was my life's dream. And I felt like I can't do this anymore. I had earned my master's degree. I had earned an MBA and I was working on a master's degree in school leadership. And the only thing I kept thinking every time I went into those classes was, being a principal sounds like the worst job in the world. I don't want to do this. And so in early of 2018, I applied for my PhD, which I always kind of knew I was going to earn a PhD, but I hadn't really thought it was going to happen like this. But I applied for a PhD program at the University of San Diego, and I got in. This was in leadership studies. And I got in, and so I knew, okay, the universe is showing me this is my new direction. And things at work got even worse. And I remember...
Were you living in San Diego at the time? Or
no, I actually grew up in Massachusetts, so I was living across the country. And once I made the choice to accept my admission in April of 2018, I kind of kept things under wraps for a while because I really wanted to quit like midsummer and just like stick them. I didn't do that, but that was sort of the plan. But I remember May and June of 2018 were the most intense periods of my life. We are absolutely in a rapids period now. There are rocks everywhere. I'm holding on to every single one of them. I'm being banged around left, right, and center. I met someone who turned out to be a karmic partner. Here I was thinking, oh my God, I'm about to move across the country. And now I met someone. What is this? My work was falling apart. In June of 2018, I moved my life from Massachusetts to San Diego. I traded an apartment for one I had never seen. I traded a job for a brand new job across the country. I left a master's program for a PhD program. I'm leaving a relationship. Things are happening with my family. Literally every possible thing in my life that I had. Oh, and I left the church.
Wow.
All in 2 weeks.
Total shakedown.
Yeah, that was like, talk about the rocks. They were just, I was being thrown all over the rapids and I was bleeding because all of these old identities of self, all of these things that I had been carrying for so long.
Like you were literally over the waterfall.
I sure did. So June of 2018, when I finally got to San Diego, I'd say that was the waterfall and I was free falling for sure. A couple months later, I wasn't doing well. I mean, every part of my identity, who I knew myself to be, had completely changed seemingly overnight. And still to this day, I've been through massive transformation ever since. My whole life has been changing dramatically ever since, but still to this day, nothing as intense as that particular period. As an astrologer now, I happen to know why. Uranus was very busy in my chart at that point, shaking things up. But I can't go there yet because I hadn't even gone that part of my story hasn't happened yet. So anyway, I'm in San Diego, not doing well, not feeling well. And my sister suggests, why don't you go have an astrology reading? And I was like, okay. Because
was that something she was familiar with, or why did that?
I'm not sure entirely where it came from, to be honest with you, because yeah, she was familiar sort of, but I think my sister's more of a, oh, let's just try this kind of person. And so I had had tarot card readings before. I had had psychic readings before. I was no stranger to any of those things. But astrology, I really didn't know anything about, aside from what you read on, you know, cafeastrology.com, my horoscope, something like that. And so I went and had this reading. And this woman is reading my birth chart. She's telling me all kinds of things about who I am, why I'm here. She's speaking things about my being that I have never uttered, never even to myself. And I remember it feeling like such a profound experience because for the first time in my life, I felt truly seen, like truly acknowledged for who I am, a soul and a body with a purpose. Of course, I wanted to know, am I getting back together with that boyfriend? No. Is this going to happen? No. And I was like, I'm like, okay. But she said to me, you're at the beginning of a major spiritual awakening. She said, and in a few years' time, you're going to be an astrologer and you'll be better than me. And I was like, no. I am six figures into a PhD program. That's a hard no. And she said, okay. I said, well, do you teach? She said, no. And I do teach, but you don't need me. You're your own teacher. And I thought, I'm walking away having this super profound experience. I'm scratching my head wondering what the heck just happened. But she was right. And after that, any book I could get my hands on, any YouTube video, anything like that, I started to study astrology. And really, the experience was much less of studying something and much more of remembering what my soul knew from other times, other places. So I don't know if in your analogy, I'm starting to pick up rocks from the past or if I'm picking up flowers along the way. But at this point, I'm picking up gifts for sure. And
I would say it's more of the realization that this was a rock. Here's the lesson, and you're laying them out. Like you're just.
All right. Well, so many are being laid out right now. We've gone over the waterfall, and now we're at a pool, I think. Mm-hmm. And the recognition of like who I really was. And then from there in 2019, I went through a major spiritual awakening when I realized that, oh, this is why I'm on planet Earth. I'm here to support people in their spiritual journeys. Now, at the time, I wasn't thinking so much about purpose, although that evolved over time into the work that I do now, which is I use astrology. I use QHHT, which is quantum healing hypnosis technique. It's a past life regression technique. I do coaching with people, and I am being called to share more in the conscious leadership space, because my doctoral dissertation I did complete And surprise, I ended up writing my doctoral dissertation on the use of astrology as a tool for self-discovery, which I had never prepared to do, except I understood after my astrological experience and my own journey that followed, that this is a super powerful tool that needs to be shared with the world to help people align with who they truly are. And so I guess if I'm starting to lay out all the rocks, the lessons are probably the next question. Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you learn? And then obviously we know what you did with it, helping people, me being one of them. So thank you for that. But how did this go from, I'm going to be a teacher, I'm going to be doctor, professor, whatever this is that you have this grandiose plan, now the universe has revealed itself in a new way, and now you have a new plan, and you can see why these things happen to make sense of all of this. What next?
Well, okay, you gave me a couple questions here. So first, when the universe is asking you to let go or put down some of these rocks, can be really intense, like exceptionally intense, like who I used to be, my whole identity, what I've been holding on to. You know, if you had told me in 2018 that I was going to complete a PhD program, I would have 100% believed you. I totally knew that. But if you were to tell me I was going to write my dissertation on astrology, I would have choked because I would have been like, what the fuck? Like, that's not part of my story. I don't know. So it's funny when sometimes the burden just becomes way too heavy in an old version of ourselves, an old life that we're kind of forced to let go or put down the rock, then you start to get more comfortable with that process of letting go, letting go, letting go, because I have moved through, oh my gosh, countless trust falls with the universe since. I would say that actually since that period, I have probably moved through, I think I'm on my sixth or seventh version of self. And I mean like big, big versions. We're always different every single day, but I mean major
okay,
shifts.
So tell me what that means when you say version of self. Because I have an idea and I feel like you're teaching me something else. Like, oh, so I'm not the crazy one. Like, this is a thing. People do this. But what does that mean to have a version of yourself and go through that evolution of versions?
Yeah. So I think it's maybe best to describe it in terms of what were the lessons of the rocks, right? So as I started to shift and change, different versions of me emerged when I started to heal certain things. So if I were to go back to 2018, for example, the end of that everything that happened in my life was very dramatic, but also the end of that relationship was kind of a big piece. For me, I learned a lot of lessons around loneliness that year and the true recognition that I'm not actually alone. But it took a solid 9 to 12 months before I really understood that lesson. Then I was stepping into more of my power in a different way. A lesson that came after that was more about who I was spiritually, and really the fullness of my being, which came through my spiritual awakening, recognizing like, oh shoot, I'm actually very powerful spiritually and I'm meant to do something with this. So I need to step into that. There was lessons in, I guess, worthiness at that point. When I ended up, if we're thinking about 2020, 21, big lessons in trust that actually this is what you're called to do. And so that I can trust my guidance, my own inner knowing, but also trust myself to make that happen and to jump with the universe when I'm being guided. That was a big lesson. When
did you see a lot of people going through that similarly during the pandemic and all the things that were going on because we were kind of pulled out of
I would say yes. And honestly, for me, 2020 was I think I can confidently say the best year of my life, if not one of the best years of my life. I've had some really great ones since. But 2020 was a major turning point for me, and I spent 90% of it alone. I was at home, lived on my own, worked from home. I used to ride my bike. I was living on Coronado Island off of San Diego, and I was riding my bike around every day and going to the beach all the time and actively avoiding work left, right, and center. It was a period I spent a lot of time on YouTube learning spiritual things and reading a lot of books. And it was a really beautiful time of introspection for me and also to heal. Mm-hmm. And what I have found with my own clients, and others in my own life is that 2020 was a major turning point for a lot of people for the same reasons, because we got to just stop this crazy rat race that we're living in and recognize like, oh, yeah, this isn't so important, or this is important to me, or whatever the case may be. My life has really never sped up to its pre-2020 speed. Thank goodness, because I don't want that anymore. After that, I ended up trusting my guidance that I was being asked to work on my business full time. So I left my full time job. A few weeks later, I was asked to move to Maui. So I did. And those lessons, that version of me was moving through a lot of lessons in self-worth, big time, and also receiving. It was a time in my life where I was healing a lot of the divine feminine energy within myself, recognizing the feminine energy within myself and recognizing its power, recognizing my connection with nature. Forgiving a lot was happening when I lived there, but really the lessons of self-worth in all the ways. And I went through some interesting financial moments, we'll say. That's the way I want to see it, because they were big lessons, but holy crap, was I freaking out about that damn rock back then. But truly stepping into that, and you know, that's another version of self. And then I ended up traveling really the world. All of Eastern Europe, Northern Europe, and not all, but I've traveled Eastern, Northern Europe, and Mexico, as well as the United States for 3.5 months last year. And that was a big time of like lessons in expansion, of really recognizing, okay, I'm picking up these gifts from other places in the world. I'm recognizing more of my own power. And then now this version of me in Los Angeles is experiencing lessons in community and connection with people, and really just pure magic happening around me, and service, lessons of service are happening too. So if I'm laying out all of these rocks, hopefully you've heard a number of them, the lessons have been very clear. And with each sort of period of my life, there's been different lessons. I've had many lessons very fast in the last 4 years. But if I think about each of these periods, they've all presented a different lesson, which is, by the way, one of the things that I think is so powerful and beautiful about astrology, is that it can help us to understand these periods that we're moving through and the lessons that are inherent within. Now, you are a free will being, of course. Your choice to come here on planet Earth and have a lifetime is an act of free will. And I don't believe that everything is just written out for you, like you're just banging around here having an experience that is meaningless. No. You are a co-creator in this. But if we can understand, oh, this is what this period is teaching. Here's the potential here, right? Essentially, another way of saying it is, I'm holding this rock right now. What can I do with it? Where should I place it? Yes.
So you've chosen this path now, and you get to help people. Let's talk a little bit about what that looks like, and you can feel free to use my experience or our call if you remember any of that, but I'd love for people to have an idea of how you help and work with people now and how you help them move their rocks.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah,
the purpose, you know, my why, that's always the number one question that's driving people. So I love that yours is the path and purpose.
Yeah, totally. So my company's name is Path and Purpose, and the work that I do is about supporting people in living the path to their purpose. I think the word purpose for a lot of people can come with a lot of weight, kind of like the word God, maybe not so much, but it's a heavy word. And when we sort of think about this idea of, oh, I'm born for this singular purpose, I must be doing this thing. Okay, well, that's not true. While there are things, of course, that you are meant to express and experience in your life, you've literally set that up. Purpose is, I believe, much more of a path that will unfold over time. Was I living my purpose back in 2015 as a teacher? Yeah, for sure. I would have told you that. I was loving it. And that's exactly what I've always wanted to do. I am still a teacher now, right? That's also connected to my bigger purpose, but its expression is way different than it used to be. Mm-hmm. And so I think when we think in terms of a path and learning to align with that path, we can watch and be more of a participant in the unfolding, if you will. And so my work is really about that, helping people to recognize what is the path, what is your connection. The word I use is to your higher self. This could be a term, your guides, your angels, however you want to understand. But and it's threefold. So it's understanding who you are, why you're here. This is the astrological component to my work. Understanding, okay, cool, that's what I said I want to do, but what's holding me back from that, from either other lives or subconscious blocks? This is the work of QHHT. And then subsequently learning to live in alignment with your higher self permanently. It's one thing to go on a weekend retreat or learn some amazing things. But it's another to fully integrate that into your experience, right? And so supporting people in that. For some people, that looks like the expression of their purpose looks like, I want to create a conscious business, and I support people in that as well. I've worked with a number of entrepreneurs over the years, and I used to be a business teacher. So there's that. But now my work is definitely more spiritually focused. And my path is turning an interesting corner that I've known for quite some time, by really working with leaders and developing them to be living their purpose and connected spiritually as well. So it's really about taking all of this work I've been doing with individuals up until this point and bringing it to leaders and their teams. But when you're working with me, if I were to give like a picture of our time together or something, I am a mirror for you to recognize who you truly are. This isn't about me imposing something, or telling you what you must do, or making promises like, oh, in 6 weeks, you're going to figure out your purpose. Your life's going to be perfect with a beautiful bow on top. Like, no, these are not expectations you can have.
The three steps. I have the three steps that are going to figure this, this, and this.
Well, interestingly enough, I'd say those three steps were three big ass rocks that I had to move through that in myself. I didn't know who I was. I definitely didn't know how to move past my old limiting beliefs. And my whole life has been an experience of connecting with my higher self, source, God, oneness, whatever you want to call it. And it's actually quite funny, because I mentioned those three things as if, oh yeah, this is the clearest thing ever. It really didn't come to me until like 2022. And it was like a big cosmic joke. It was like, these are the three things you can help with, Cameron, because these are the three things you've been doing in your whole life. Like, and I remember when I got the download, I was sitting in my house journaling and I was like, oh my God, this is what I do. I help people do this. I help people figure out who they are. I help people figure out who they're not and move beyond it. And I help people live in alignment with their higher self. My entire life has been this journey. And I remember laughing and giggling like it was the most obvious thing. I could feel my angels up above going, we've been trying to show you this for a decade. And so, yeah, talk about laying the rocks down in something that now seems super obvious to me. And I kind of said it in a way that's like, yeah, these are the three things you do. But my whole life showed me that. And I do remember when I realized like, oh my God, that's the work that I do. Huh. Funny. Yeah.
So I love that that's the thing that you did for me in our call, because you did an astrology reading on me or for me and held up such a beautiful mirror. It was, I don't even know how to describe it. It was eye-opening. It was transformational. Just to have things, like you said, that you could identify times of my life where, because of what was going on with the planets, this was likely going on. You were struggling in this time, or there was a big transformation here. And then to kind of like speak into what's going on right now with what I'm going through, and to tell me kind of what to anticipate was like, okay, well, he was right here. All of those days were spot on. So it just gave me such a sense of peace that, yes, I have choice, and yes, there's these variables, and there's a very specific path.
Totally.
And knowing that there is was just like, ah, okay.
And that path is unique to you, right? And, you know, when people are working with me, one of the things you can basically expect is to be validated for who you truly are. Now, maybe not your ego validated for who you want to be or whatever, but there's a difference. But there is a resonance and a validation for who you are and what you're moving through, and recognizing, because the perspective is always bigger. When we're in this human ego, day-to-day life, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this work, whatever, that we can really restrict our perspective. But when we take it to the perspective of your lifetime or lifetimes and your soul and what you're really here to learn, can be exceptionally powerful to recognize that, yeah, Karen, this is a period of your life right now where self-worth issues are a thing. I'm not speaking specifically to your reading. I'm giving an example, but, you know, yeah, you're going to have to work through that. And maybe you'll have some financial issues, or maybe you're going to have issues in your relationships. You know, there are indicators, but here's the lesson. And when you can recognize it and see it that way, it's way different. You can move through life in a much more conscious, co-creative way, because realizing you created it to begin with.
So that was something that was, I think, the biggest gift that you gave me, was the opportunity to see the people in my life that created really traumatic experiences, as people who I asked them to do a certain thing in my life so that I could be the certain person that I am, and that I needed to learn certain things to do that. And so they had to play that role.
Oh, we're
just a part of my story. And that took away so much anger. I was able to just see it as, oh, okay, this is all just my choice. It freed me up to say, I chose this. I get to choose me. I chose this. It was just a choice.
Totally. And what you're referring to is another aspect of my work. Look, if you go and have a reading with an astrologer, essentially they're reading symbols on a chart, and lots of people can do that. What I'm doing is way deeper than that. And you can probably speak to it. Because I am deeply intuitive and I receive messages from all over. But what you were talking about is a lesson that I do teach people, in this recognition of, okay, you as a soul chose to come into a body and have a life here on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And you chose the specific lessons you wanted to learn, or the rocks you said you were willing to carry in this life, because I want to evolve. I want to grow. I want to change. Otherwise, why come to Earth? Why be a human? And so you say things like, okay, I want to learn about self-worth in this lifetime. Cool. And then all these souls up there said, great. And your higher self said, wonderful. You want to learn about self-worth? And your dad agreed. I'm going to teach you about self-worth. And your first boyfriend, I'm going to teach you about self-worth. And your first husband, I'm going to teach you about self-worth. And they all came down, and maybe they were really cruel to you. And maybe, you know, your dad as a kid used to make you feel worthless, and your first boyfriend rejected you and made you feel totally worthless. And your first husband did the same darn thing, similar pattern. Well, the recognition is you wanted to learn the lesson of self-worth. And how else were you going to do it without being triggered by somebody treating you the opposite of that, right? Right. And recognize, yeah, like you were unworthy. And the recognition that actually at a soul level, all of those expressions are expressions of unconditional love from the creator, because you're just playing a game down here. So to recognize that those souls said, yeah, I love you enough. I'm going to do it. I'm going to trigger you. I'm going to be an asshole to you. I might abuse you. I might whatever. And that actually, from a soul perspective, not the human perspective, like the humans, we have problems. We have drama. We have trauma. We create karma. Like the game is real down here. But at the soul level, before we came here, all of that was chosen to really help you to grow. And it's a really different perspective, of course, on thinking about your life. But I've had conversations with many clients. I've had conversations with my sister around this self-worth thing and her relationship with my father and the way that things have played out, how she's always felt not good enough and da 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 da. But she recognizes, oh, wow, he's like my best teacher. It's different.
Yeah, it's very different. And there is a different set of language, a different set of words and descriptors than what you grew up with in the church or what I grew up with in the church. And so that is probably an episode of a whole nother conversation that we need to have just about this. The religious component to this, but how has that been for you, transitioning from what you grew up knowing versus what you know to be true now? And how can you help others who might be struggling with that same?
Yeah, a great question. So I grew up, like I said, very Catholic, I was thinking about being a priest, for goodness sake. I recognize, and my understanding of the universe, by the way, has changed tremendously by a few different works, which I can share with you. But what I can say is that I recognize now that my connection with the Catholic Church has a lot to do with past lives, past life experiences. I've been a priest a lot. I think I loved it. Honestly, put me at the top of the altar and with beautiful vestments, the gowns, the incense. Girl, I would be in my glory. Are you kidding? I've done that. I could make myself. It's freaking pomp and circumstance. If any of you ever seen a Catholic mass, I've done that so much. It feels familiar. But I recognize that the church isn't actually what I needed or what I wanted, for that matter. And recognizing that there are human components and things in the church I don't believe in, I'm not here to make any sort of claim against the church for anyone that's important. But for me, my journey with the church ended because it didn't resonate for me anymore. However, what I recognize now is that my connection with the church has more to do with the person of Christ, the man, Yeshua, who lived on this earth and taught the lessons of forgiveness and self-love and taught us about the power that we had within ourselves, right? That man, that being, that as I understand him now, is an ascended master, is someone that I feel very connected to and I'm guided by all the time. I'm also very connected with the archetype of Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene. These are beings that exist in spirit that I work with. And so that's a connection that I have, but my understanding of the universe is very different now. And I'm very much influenced by the work of the Law of One. And so this was a channeled work, the raw material. Some of you listening may be familiar with this, maybe not, but really I understood that work. For me, opened up a lot of universal laws and understanding how the universe actually works and what the Law of One.
So is the Law of One versus like the Trinity, or is that?
Well, the Law of One is the idea that we are all one and we are all connected, that we're all expressions of the one infinite creator. And each one of us is perfect in that way. Of course, the Trinity represents three aspects of oneness, right? Of God, if we're thinking about like in the Christian beliefs of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. The idea is similar in that it's three aspects of the same essence. But the Law of One is that we are actually all of the essence of the one creator. That's a podcast episode of its own right. There are many teachings in the Law of One that are beautiful. But between that, the work that I've done in past life regression and a lot of the work that came through Dolores Cannon in particular, her channeled works of Jesus in the Essenes and the work they walked with Jesus. And actually now, it's right behind me, I'm just started reading. I don't know if you're listening to the episode, you're not going to see it, but I just started reading the Essene Gospel of Peace, which is one of the missing Gospels in the Bible, because Jesus, according to many biblical scholars, was actually a member of a community of people who lived outside of Jerusalem, known as the Essenes, and that actually he was living in that community, was trained by them, was very spiritually evolved, and then he went and did his ministry in the world. So anyway, I'm reading this now. So it's not that I have ditched, we'll say, my Christian roots. They've just gotten a lot deeper. You know, like the idea or the phrase of like, you know, I need to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior because I'm sinful. And okay, that's fine if that resonates for you. For me, that doesn't feel right at all. Right? For me, that feels like, that doesn't make any sense. But for me, connecting with who the person of Jesus really was and his actual teachings underlying, which were ultimately about forgiveness and unconditional love, everything he always taught was that, and about the power of your own ability to heal yourself. He was always teaching that. Right. So for me, those roots have just gone a lot deeper beyond what the church says I have to believe, right? Surface level, to what I truly know as real. Because by the way, all of the holy texts, whether it's the Bible, the Quran, whatever, there's truth with a capital T in all of them. It's why they exist still, because you can't snuff out truth. Granted, men, scholars throughout history have pretty much manipulated them all and made mistakes and not understood things in the consciousness they were created, etc., etc. But the point is, these texts carry universal truth. And so it's about allowing yourself to just explore deeper. So I feel now like I have a deeper understanding and a deeper connection with the person of Christ, but it's not because of the church. It's more because I know who I am deeply at a spiritual level. And I know more about universal laws. So to me, the teachings are deeper. I had a really interesting conversation. I read this somewhere and then I was talking to somebody about this, that souls, when they come into planet Earth, we choose where we want to live geographically, which families, parents, that kind of thing. And generally, the geographic thing is going to influence religion. It just does. Wherever you live in the world, people's religion and thought systems, their belief systems are very present. And so I don't remember the details specifically of this idea, but it's really, I think, a beautiful one. The idea that you as a soul came into a specific geographic area, but also a religion to learn, or not, or no religion, that's an option too, to learn specific things. If you look at all of the major world religions and teachers, their avatars, their great avatars of all of the world religions, Jesus taught, the person of Jesus taught of forgiveness and unconditional love, primarily. Buddha teaches a lot about the mind and stillness and recognizing that you are not your mind and the ego, right? And that you can actually create peace within your everyday life, right? Muhammad, different teachings, this whole idea that actually as a soul, we might be attracted to particular religions so that we can learn particular lessons in this lifetime. And I thought that's a really beautiful thing to consider, especially if you're someone, for two reasons, if the religion that you are a part of feels very resonant for you, beautiful. But if the religion you're a part of no longer feels resonant for you, rather than throwing it all out, recognizing what were the threads? Why did you need that to begin with? What were the lessons you were learning there to begin with? And how might those roots go a bit deeper, right? I think a lot of people leave the Catholic Church or Christian churches or Judaism or whatever angry and mad or irritated or feeling like they were controlled or manipulated. And look, I did for sure. But you can also take that rock and recognize, wait, there was a gift there There was a reason I chose to learn these things, to play with those themes. What are they? Because they're an important component of your journey, for sure.
I think that's one of the biggest gifts of seeing that this is a journey that we chose, is what is the lesson that I was supposed to learn here, mm-hmm. and not being attached to this happening to me. Like, this was orchestrated by me, for me.
Everything was created for you to experience.
Don't miss the moment.
Don't miss it. And if you do, and you don't learn the lesson, I can guarantee you it will come back in this lifetime or another. We don't get to, on planet Earth, we don't get on planet Earth, on school of Earth, whatever you want to call it, we don't get to bypass our lessons. And sometimes when I read people's charts or work with clients, some themes are so intense. They move through a great deal of abuse or neglect or whatever. And people, it can feel like, oh my God, what do I do? Or what did I do to earn this or whatever? That's, or what did I do to deserve this, right? And it's like, well, yeah. It's kind of, we're kind of misrepresenting a little bit here, because again, you wanted to learn something. And if you didn't learn it before, you will learn it again. The universe is just going to bring it back so you can graduate from these lessons. And so if you don't learn it now, maybe in 5 years in your next marriage it'll happen, or maybe in 10 years when somebody dies, or maybe in your next lifetime, but you will learn it. And the lessons tend to get more intense over time. Why? So that you will just learn it. And so if you're even sitting here listening going, huh, I wonder what some of the biggest lessons were in my lifetime. Well, ask yourself, what were some of the biggest rocks, and what are the things you're still probably playing with right now? Because those themes, if it showed up again and again and again and again in your life, it's for you to learn. It's not because you're a victim. It's not because the universe hates you. It's not because God is spiting you. It's not because your parents are horrible. It's not because your boyfriend is terrible. It's not because your kids despise you. It's none of those things. The lessons are there for you, so that you can learn, make a different choice if you want to, or not.
I feel like you just like summed up my whole coaching calls. Like, there's a pattern here. Pay attention to it. See what it is that keeps coming back around, and where do you see these similarities in your relationships? If you're seeing this same resonance in this relationship and this relationship and at work and with your kids and with your spouse, then number one, who's the common denominator? You. And number two, what can you learn from all mm-hmm. this? Because there's something definitely. So
because this is a school, and the universe is perfect in what it will bring to you and show you, because ultimately, by the way, those lessons, everything you just said, it's just an expression of your vibration, who you are as a vibrational being, as a spirit, as a soul, however you want to understand that. But to your point about, look, if you're carrying lack as a vibration in your essence, in your soul, in your beingness, guaranteed it's going to show up in your life. You won't have enough money, you'll get fired from your job, this will happen, whatever, because the universe is perfect. It is always going to be responding to your frequency and showing you the lessons that you need to see, aka showing you what is still present inside of you. So whether it's your boyfriend, your husband, your kid, your dog, the person on the street, and they're all treating you the same way, my friend, they're all responding to you because you're carrying one, or maybe a few, frequencies that are causing that to show up. The universe is a beautiful and perfect mirror always. You want to know what's going on inside of you? Look at what's happening externally.
I love it. Wow. That's a mic drop moment. I'm going to mark that. Okay. So, final words for our listeners about what they could take from this in kind of one summary. I have my ideas, but I'd love to hear you just kind of summarize this for us today. And then I have a fun question, lighthearted.
Okay. The experience of our life is a gift for us to learn. And so if you recognize that we came down here for a reason, that everything actually matters, not in a heavy way, like, oh, this is so important. If I mess it up, it's the end of the world. No, because you could come back again in another life if you need to, but that your life actually is sacred and it is important and it's always teaching you. The whole experience that we're moving through is about learning and growth. And so if you recognize that everything in your life is just a catalyst for your growth, well, that's the key. You might be able to let go of some of those rocks and just flow with it.
What a beautiful gift. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So fun question. What is one hack, tip, trick, tool, resource? Could be any of the above that you love that is absolutely making your life better.
Astrology. I'd say
with astrology, is there a favorite app?
Oh,
favorite
I see.
Way that you find
I see
it?
Where you're going.
Or somebody told me their favorite pillow because they got better sleep on using this pillow.
Oh,
somebody told me a Remarkable, which I started using and love.
I wanted to buy one for a while. You like it, huh?
I love it. Love it because it feels like writing on pencil.
Okay, because I love my notebooks. I love my notebooks. I love my pencil. I only write in pencil. I'm a little bit.
It feels like it.
It feels like that's what I do. Oh, that's what the Remarkable feels like. Okay.
No, yeah, it feels like that. It feels like writing, and you can change it to calligraphy. You can change it to. It's not color.
Yeah, so that's fine. Neither is a pencil.
But. Right.
Okay, I like that.
You know, I love the Remarkable. So I always learn new things, and I'm like, oh, I should try that.
Mm-hmm. Well, God bless my Google Calendar, to be honest with you, because otherwise, I don't know how I'd keep my life straight otherwise. But honestly, what's coming to mind right now is that I want to say it like this, that I commune with cacao pretty regularly. And cacao is a heart opener. It is technically a plant medicine. There is an essence of cacao that I use in ceremony. And I had some last night. But anytime I really need to ground in or connect with my heart, which I often have to do in my work, I might make myself a nice cup of cacao and just be with it. And then wait for inspiration. That I really like. I don't know if that's a fun tip, trick, or tool, but
I love that. I've never heard that before. Mm. So
I also like chocolate a lot. So there's that.
So that's just like the pure powder form of dark chocolate.
Yeah, the cacao plant, the cacao bean is the basis for chocolate. I mean, you add cocoa butter and things like that to make a chocolate bar. But yeah, the cacao pod, when you grind up the pods themselves, that can be used for ceremonial grade or for ceremony. And it can be a really beautiful heart opener. So yeah, I like that. That's an old school tool. It's literally from the land. So let's go with that one.
Even better. I love that. So thank you for sharing that. Every time we talk, I just absolutely love you more and more. And I'm so grateful that you shared your time with us today. And I get to share you and your beautiful gifts with my rock moving community. I know that there'll be lots of questions come up and they'll have an interest in finding you. So we'll have all of those links in the show notes. But if you Google or search for Dr., you have to add the doctor, Cameron Martin, and it's pathandpurpose.com. Is that correct?
Almost. The website is yourpathandpurpose.com.
Your path. I missed the your. Yourpathandpurpose.com.
Yeah.
I would have linked it right, I promise. but he has all kind of things coming. his schedule's getting more demanding. And as soon as this episode hits, he's going to like skyrocket and be super famous. So, you know, his prices will probably go up.
That's right.
You need to get in and book fast, because it's truly, truly, truly life-changing when you find out why you're here and get to do it on purpose. So thank you for sharing that gift with us so much.
Yeah, thank you, Karen. And thanks for this opportunity to just share.
I love it. It's been wonderful. So you guys keep moving those rocks and know that you just don't have to do it by yourself.
I hope that you got as much value and enjoyed this episode as much as I did. What a way to start off season 5. I hope that you agree, and I would love for you to connect, follow, and engage with Dr. Cameron, because he is such a giver. So much value that he's added to my life. So when he hears this, I just want to send a big thank you for this episode. I had so much fun. And by the time that this episode airs, we will have had a couple months go in between, and he will have been on a huge journey overseas and launching into some new adventures. So be sure to follow him over on social media, check out his website, yourpathandpurpose.com, and follow him on his podcast as well. I'm going to be showing up over there and having a conversation with him for his listeners. So again, thank you for showing up for this journey, for showing up for yourself, and for moving rocks every day for yourself and others. You make a difference. And finally, I want to say thank you to you, because this episode could not happen if it weren't for the wonderful people that are listening to this, the wonderful people that are sharing your comments, liking, subscribing, and just supporting me as my rock moving community. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And as my way of giving back and saying thanks, I want to offer a free resource with my self-worth archetype quiz. It's a free quiz for you to learn your self-worth superpowers and discover your self-doubt kryptonites. Those are the things that are getting in your way. This is totally free. And if you take this quiz, you'll see that there's also a free discovery call that you can tap into to learn more about the results and how you can best use those to escalate, scale, and elevate your self-worth and self-confidence. I'm here for you. This is my way of saying thank you for showing up for me. And of course, please don't forget to subscribe to The Rock Movers so that you stay in touch with all of the new updates as they come out, because we have some amazing, amazing episodes that are going to be coming out in season 5. I cannot believe this is the last episode of season 4, and season 5 is launching so soon. Of course, I also want to encourage you to follow me and connect over on social media. I'm on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I do respond myself, so if you get a response, that's from me. That's not from my assistant, that's from me. So please, let's connect, stay in touch, and let me know who you'd like to see on The Rock Movers. And if that's you, please feel free to put your own name in, because we are in this together, moving rocks, one rock at a time. Take care.